It's wonderful. So we're going to continue, when I get my head together in a minute, we're going to continue with our series looking at the church, and we just sang it. We, I love this. This is like, if you forgive me if this is a bit irreverent, but you've got to have a bit of a sense of humour at this point. Look around. I like to do this. Look around. We are the church. We are the church. Do you know what that does for me as I look around and I'm aware of my own weakness and inability, and I think we are the church. Do you know what that does? It makes God magnificent in my eyes, because he needs to be. God is magnificent. We are the church. And here it is. We are the hope of the world. You and me, we are the hope. This isn't just theology, this is true. We, the church of Jesus Christ, are the hope of the world. God is magnificent this morning. He's magnificent in you, he's magnificent in me, and he ministers something of himself. And he ministers life this morning. And what we need here this morning, and it is the cry of my heart, we need life. Don't we? We don't need words. I've got a few, but we need life this morning. And he comes and he ministers life. And the miracle of it is, part of that is, he ministers life through you and me to one another. And it's rich and it's wonderful. And he's building his church. His church, we are the church. We are the hope of the world because of him and all that he does and ministers through us. So here's the thing, as we hold that up there, and it's wonderful. I don't do this very often, but humour me. Could you put your hand up if you're a work in progress this morning? We're a work in progress. That's good. We're all in good company. And here's the thing. God has not finished with me yet. Or you. Wonderful. Wonderful. In this way, he continues to build his church. Here it is. What is God doing on the earth? Thank you, Jeff. He is. He is building his church. It's wonderful. And we've been looking at this in different ways. We're doing this on purpose. And we're thinking about the church. And in thinking about the church, we're thinking about rightly representing Jesus. In fact, Jesus represents himself through his church. But we're thinking about rightly representing Jesus. And it's like, Lord, that's what we're about. That's what we want. We want to be right and true representation of Jesus Christ on the earth. Why? Well, one of the reasons is this. Because when he is lifted up, and this isn't only referring to the cross, if I can put it in that way, when he is lifted up, he himself, he will draw men to himself. He's that attractive. He will draw men and women to himself as he is lifted up and elevated and honored and esteemed and worshipped and praised in his church. So Johnny was talking a bit last week. Somewhere I've got notes. Johnny was talking last week a bit about the gospel of grace. He had a big task, so he focused right in, which was very wise of him. And we were thinking a bit about the gospel of grace. We're thinking about the church in all different aspects, that obviously being one of them. And what we're wanting to do over a number of weeks is we're building a picture. So each week we're kind of just taking a little glimpse. It's like if you've got a massive picture and you're just focusing in on one bit, and then you focus in on another bit. And actually, if you look at a masterpiece, you kind of need to do that because it's involved and it's rich and it's beautiful. And you focus in on a bit and you look at that and you can study it and have a look, and then you might look at another bit. And so we're trying to do that over a number of weeks, just looking at different aspects to do with the church, important things, foundational things. And the idea being that as we do that, as we build in that way, the picture becomes increasingly beautiful. Amen? It does. It becomes increasingly beautiful. And in doing that, we see increasingly a more true representation of Jesus Christ. And it's like for every Christian hungry heart, I'm thinking, it's just like we're after that. We're hungry for that. We're hungry for Jesus. We're hungry for us to be a representation of him. And so we're building in that way. And we want to see something of great beauty as it comes together. And the church is beautiful. Oh, well, I'd like to just keep saying that really to us. I'd like us to know that in a real and a true way. The church of Jesus Christ is beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful all over the world, in all kinds of different cultures and peoples. It's beautiful. The church is beautiful, and he's building his church, and we're just looking at different aspects of it. And it becomes, I think, more beautiful to us, I hope, as we do this. And we realize, and Johnny was talking about this, the gospel of grace and the wonderful truth that we are saved entirely by what he has done and nothing at all because of anything that we have done. And he was holding that up for us. Jeff just did it. Did you notice? I know you did. He's hard to miss, Jeff. So he's holding it up. The gospel of grace. It's wonderful. Nothing that I have brought to this is of any value or of any consequence, but all because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's it. I'm not contributing anything. I'm not bringing anything away from it. The gospel, it's a wonderful gift of grace. And what I realized just in what Jeff was saying earlier and what Johnny was saying last week, and you get a vision for the reality of the gospel of grace, and you know its impact in your own life. You know how it's changed you from the inside out. And you know what I think is a response to the gospel? Oh, this is good. A response to the gospel in my life, and actually in your life, as I look at your life, and I see the gospel has impacted that life. It has changed that life from the inside out. And you know what I want to do? Hallelujah! That's it. Do you know what that means? Praise him. Praise him. There's a church that I used to be a part of. There was a guy there. He used to say hallelujah all the time. And when I was a younger chap, I wondered sometimes what he was on about. But it's wonderful. That is the response of the Christian to the magnificence of the gospel. And we never grow tired of it. We shouldn't do, because it continues to impact our families and our friends and this city and the world. The gospel is magnificent. Praise the name of the Lord. That's it. That's it. So here it is this morning. This is just a little bit. I want us to have some time at the end, and you'll see why in a minute. But we're just thinking about this. The church is a people of praise. Praise. Over the last few years, the Lord, I've always responded to God from my heart in worship and praise. And then the last few years, the Lord's just waking me up again in a fresh way about praise and the significance of praise, the relevance of praise for us as a local congregation. And it's important. It's not superficial. It's not just singing songs. It is of significance. and importance. And it's wonderful. And the church is a people of praise. Let's read. We're going to just read a couple of verses now from Hebrews. And this is Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm just going to jump in here. Through him, then. Through him, through Jesus. Through him, then. Chapter 13, verse 15. Let us continually offer up sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And it's just that verse 15. Through him, let us continually, unceasingly, let us continually offer up a sacrifice, an offering, a giving. Let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. It's wonderful that we can do that, the fruit of our lips, that can be a praise offering to God. It's wonderful. And we can do that when we come together. And we do. The spontaneous cry of the newborn in Christ is thanksgiving and praise. Isn't it? Somebody just said yes. Well done. Thank you, Johnny. It is, isn't it? It really is. When we think about it in your own experience. When you came to know Jesus Christ personally, and you were aware of the benefit of all that he had done for you, there is a response, there is a cry, there is a thanksgiving. That's just the response. It's spontaneous. It's not contrived. It's not kind of like the appropriate thing to do right now would be to say thank you. No. There is a spontaneous response to the impact of the gospel in my life. And it's this: thank you, gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. Praise and adoration of the one. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. The spontaneous cry of the newborn. Thing is, it's not just the spontaneous cry of the newborn, is it? No. But actually, it is the ongoing response of the Christian life to the magnificence of God and the ongoing impact of the gospel in your life. Why? Because he hasn't finished with me yet, and he's changing me. So have hope. He's changing me. Incredible. He's changing you. My response to the impact of the gospel in my life is thanksgiving and praise. It's like I don't know what else to do with my gratitude. God, you are changing me from the inside out. And somehow you keep doing it. And I'm grateful. And my response, my return to you is praise and adoration. It is. And the wonderful thing is, we get together on a regular basis and express that together. And if I can say so, it's richer for it. It's wonderful that we get to do this and we don't grow tired of it. There is in the new believer a realization that God has done something for me that I could not do for myself, that he is greater than I am, and he is worthy of my praise. I know I've said this a lot of times, But this is a revelation. This is a great realization. It's a really simple one, but it's massive on its impact. When I discover in a real and profound way that God is bigger and greater than I am, my response to that reality is one of praise and worship and thanksgiving. It is the only response. It's wonderful. And we can continue to stir one another up. This is it. This is an exhortation. We had an exhortation earlier. This is another one. This is an exhortation to praise the Lord. As often as we get together and the rest of the time, continually praise the name of the Lord. Not because life is always easy, but because he is always worthy. And there is a big difference. He is always and continually worthy of my praise. And I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give it to him. He's worthy of my praise. The last couple of days I've been in a battle, and I will praise him. I will praise him. I will praise him. Why? Because he is worthy. He's worthy of our praises. And we are his people, and we are a people of praise. The infant response of praise and thanksgiving is to go on and become the characteristic of the life. When you see a Christian person and the characteristic of their life is one of gratitude and thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God, that is a wonderful thing to see. It's so encouraging and impacting. It's like, yes, that is the right response of a human being to an Almighty God. Wonderful. To become the characteristic of the life, we discover that his mercies are what? They are new every morning. Every morning. They're fresh. They're fresh and they're new, the mercies of God. His loving kindness is endless. His loving kindness. This is the Bible. His loving kindness is endless. His thoughts are not my thoughts. Aren't you grateful? His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his thoughts higher than mine. So are his ways higher than mine. He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all praise. Our praise is intrinsically linked to our reverential knowledge of God. Can I say that? Our praise of God is intrinsically linked to our estimation of God, how we see him, how we view him, whether he is magnificent in our eyes. That affects our praise of him, doesn't it? So it's like, let's hold him high in his church. Wonderful. For one another. And for his glory, let's hold him high. Our praise of God is linked to our estimation of God, how we see God. We must continue to have a high and reverential knowledge of God. Amen? Amen. We must continue to have a high and reverential knowledge of God. He is so much other than I am. And I esteem him highly. I look to him as creator and almighty God. And I praise him. The church of Jesus Christ must have an enormous view of God. We must. Imperative. We must have an enormous view of God. One that is in some way worthy of the one to whom we praise. We must. If we are to praise God well, we must acknowledge. And we do, some acknowledgement happens in here, in our minds, in our understanding, and that's good and that's necessary. Some acknowledgement happens kind of more like in our heart, and in our heart response, in our acceptance of truth, in our will being moved. We move to him, we respond to him, we acknowledge him in all sorts of different ways. And we must acknowledge, Lord, you are bigger than I am. You are greater. You are more powerful. You are all-knowing. You have all wisdom and understanding. You speak and nature bows at your command. He is all-powerful. No one can restrain his hand. There is no one like him. He is magnificent. He does not change. The worlds are sustained because of him. And every breath I breathe because of him. Amen? God. God is magnificent. And he is worthy of all our praise. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. In my personality, you will have noticed, I guess, the scriptures in the Psalms particularly, I refer to ways that we praise. And we're talking about cymbals and loud voices and dancing and all kinds of stuff. And as a natural person, I don't identify very well with that stuff. But I love it. On the inside, I'm dancing. I am. Why? Because that is the response of a heart that longs after God and praises God. He is magnificent and he is worthy of our praises. God delights in the impossible. He is the one who has spoken something out of nothing, and there is nothing too big to ask him, whether in your life, in this city, or in this world. Praise the name of the Lord. Let all the people praise him. All the people. Let all the people praise him. All the people on the planet now, all the people that have ever been and that will ever be, let all the people praise him. And that isn't enough. He is God and he is worthy of all praise. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to just home in on something for us. I'm making a connection here, and it's simply this. I am utterly convinced that amazing things happen in us. Amazing things happen when we simply praise God. Amen. Amazing things happen when we simply praise God in this way that I'm talking about. When we praise him, amazing things happen. And I've called this, and I might have said this before here. I spoke about this somewhere else. But this phrase, and I want to give it to us, there are unexpected consequences of praise. There are unexpected consequences of praise. What do I mean by that? When we praise God, necessarily, all of our focus, all of our attention, everything is focused on the object of our praise. That's part of the package. If we are praising God, then he is taking up our attention. And so he is filling our vision. He's taking our attention. And as that happens, as we praise him in that way, do you know what? Unexpected things happen. They're unexpected because my attention is on him. It's not on anything else. And the reality is, when we praise God, God ministers to us through our praise of him. Man alive. that's generosity. But it's true. It's true. I'll tell you a little story quickly. I was at a conference last summer and thinking about some of these things. And there was a lady in the meeting and she got up and shared after I spoke. And she said, yeah, the Lord really impacted that truth in my own life. And this lady, so this is God, big God, okay, right now. This lady, she just shared this and she said she was diagnosed with cancer. She was diagnosed with cancer. And she felt exercised about this stuff and just praising God and giving it to God and moving out to God. And she really, in a particular meeting, she just responded and she just was praising God with her whole heart moving out to God. Do you know what the unexpected consequence of that was? She didn't have cancer anymore. That's incredible, isn't it? It is. I don't know what you make of that, but it's her story. So make of it what you like. It's her story. God touched her and brought healing to her, and she wasn't looking for it. She was exalting and honoring and praising the King, and the King ministered. That's wonderful. God is bigger than we think. Isn't he? I think he is. He's wonderful. He might break us out of our boxes sometimes. Praise is the expression of our worship. And when we gather and offer this sacrifice to him, we can be completely focused on him, caught up with him, captivated by him, and somehow, by his spirit, profoundly aware of him. An awareness of God. I hope this isn't getting too mystical for us this morning. An awareness of God, the presence of God. Do you know stuff happens in the presence of God unexpectedly? Unexpectedly. I haven't kind of, there isn't this bargaining business going on where it's just like, I'm going to praise God because I know he's going to bless me and I know like something's going to happen. There isn't any of that. Not in praise and worship. My praise is solely for his glory and exaltation. But the wonder of it is, so often when we praise him, whether in all sorts of different ways, whether it is just simple, the refreshment of God comes to your spirit. Don't you need refreshing? Man alive, I do all of the time and continually. Thankfully, God is new every morning, and he brings freshness and vitality. He does. I reckon we're in need of that. Freshness and vitality. And we find, as we praise and love and enjoy him, he ministers to us. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. There is release. Some of us need release in different things. We've got a bit captive in certain areas, maybe, of our life. We need release, and there is release, there is liberty, there is healing, there is anointing, there is refreshing, there is revelation. Sometimes when you simply praise God and all of your faculties are focused on him, he can just minister, he can speak to you, he can make you aware of things that you were not otherwise aware of. Just in a reality of himself and of his presence. He's wonderful. Praise the name of the Lord. Hasn't he made himself so accessible? He has. He has made himself so accessible. I'm just going to read something to us. This is our friend Les, and he's written this devotional. And I'm just going to read a little bit for us. So he's referring to a verse in Revelation. It says, "They overcame him by the word of their testimony." So this is linked to what I'm talking about this morning. This verse is not exalting the power of our mere words or claims as the source of our victory. We can claim to be on the moon, but 1,000 years of testimony will not move us one inch closer to that delusion. The power of true testimony is that testimony, the speaking out. Is that it involves the aligning of my mind with what God says. And this is not just true, it is the foundation of truth. There is power in strongly reminding myself of what God has done and who he has made me. We sing that sometimes. It's one of the ways. There is power in strongly reminding myself of what God has done and who he has made me. There is power in declaring the work of God through the cross and the resurrection. Satan is totally defeated, and that is a fact that is brought into my experience when I believe God's word and confess with my mouth what he has done. I am making the victory mine. It becomes personal and relevant somehow, partly through my confession, my speaking out, my declaration of truth. One of the ways that we do that is we praise him. When we were singing all those hymns, whenever it was, and things that we've sung today, where there is a declaration of truth. And as I speak it out in that way and declare truth to be true, it increasingly becomes my own reality. Not just my own theology. Amen? It does. This gets real and personal, or it gets nowhere. Wonderful. God ministers as we praise him. When we praise, we can take truth and make it our own possession. Wonderful. It's wonderful. These are rich gifts of God. And as we praise, we can make truth, we can take truth and make it our own. Let us, Andy, you can come, because I think we're going to sing together in a minute. We've got to do this. And I just want to encourage us to praise him this morning, simply. There's no kind of hype around this. There's no anything other than the simple reality that God is worthy of our praise this morning. And as we praise him, seemingly unexpectedly, he ministers to us. He ministers to us, and we need it. We need it. I need it. And we can praise him and be caught up with him. So let us praise him this morning, and we will find that as a consequence, we are changed. Do you want to go away changed this morning? It's like, oh, yes, please. Yes, please. I really do. I'd like to go away changed this morning. And you know what the Spirit whispers to me this morning? Matt, praise me. Praise me. Praise me. You might find some unexpected things. If you have ill health this morning, praise him. If you are out of work this morning, praise him. If you are hurting or confused, praise him. If you are full of the joy of the Lord, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing together. But as we sing together, sing to him.